on Old Testament language, an Old Testament picture of a vine. God's people Israel were the vine, a vine that was meant to bear fruit. We might have a picture of some fruit that comes up on the screen. It was meant to be beautiful fruit that was meant to show a watching world how great God is, a fruit that was meant to be attractive, delicious, fruit that was meant to help the world taste what a good and kind and amazing God our God is. But every time Israel is called the vine in the Old Testament, it's when they failed to produce that kind of good fruit that you'll see on the screen. They failed to produce that fruit, and so they sit under God's judgment. Now, there's lots of examples in the Old Testament that we could go to, but I thought we might look at just one. You don't need to flick there. It's in Isaiah chapter 5. I'll just read a couple of verses from Isaiah chapter 5, if I can flick there in your massive, massive Bible. Isaiah chapter 5, starting at verse 1. I will sing for the one I love, a song about his vineyard. My loved one, that is God, had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones, and he planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a winepress as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Bad, horrible, rotten fruit. God wanted his people to be fruitful. That was his purpose for them. But they failed. They produced bad fruit. It is disgusting, isn't it? Horrible, rotten fruit. So as Jesus in John 15 says that he is the true vine, he is saying that he is the one who will do what Israel should have done. He is the new, the perfect, the true Israel, the one who will bring forth good fruit. Not like that, the good fruit. And he'll bring that good fruit through his branches. We see that those branches are Christians. We saw that in verse 5. Beginning of verse 5, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. You disciples, you Christians are the branches. And verses 2 and 3, they show us that God, as the gardener, he is doing everything he can to make sure that the branches are fruitful. So it says he prunes the branches so that they bear more fruit. It says that he removes the branches that produce no fruit. And this isn't meant to make us scared, to make us think, oh, am I a bad branch? Is God going to remove me? No, it's just showing us that God is completely committed to his branches, his people, producing good fruit. So God wants his people to be fruitful, but that begs the question, how do we get to be fruitful? How do we get to be fruitful? Well, as we look on through the passage, particularly verses 4 to 8, we'll see that fruitfulness comes from staying connected to Jesus. Fruitfulness comes from staying connected to Jesus. We saw that language all the way through, didn't we? Remain in me, Jesus says. A number of times he says it, remain in me. It sounds a little bit odd, but I think the vine picture helps us to see that it is just Jesus saying, stay connected to me. Remain in me, stay connected to me. And he says the same thing in a number of different ways, doesn't he? He says it positively at the beginning of verse 5. So, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But he also says it negatively. If we're not connected to Jesus, we will be unable to bear fruit. So, verse 4, part of the way through. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Then end of verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Then into verse 6, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Now, I don't have grapevines, I don't have vines in my back garden, but I do have an apple tree. And if I can get out. Here is a branch that came off my apple tree. A branch is perhaps a generous description, a twig, that came off the apple tree a little while ago. Hopefully you get the idea. Now, I went into my back garden yesterday to have a look, and buds are coming out on a number of the trees in the back garden. So buds that will form into leaves, some buds that will form into blossom, that then will form into fruit. But as I look at this, there's no buds. Nothing is happening in this twig, this branch. No matter how hard it tries, no matter how much I want it to bear fruit, it's just not going to happen. It's obvious, isn't it? So if we are not connected to Jesus, just like this branch, we are not going to bear fruit. We might do lots of good things, but none of those good things will be true Christian good fruit. So as Christians, I think we're meant to conclude that we don't get to be fruitful just by trying harder. That's not going to work. So perhaps signing up for more rotas or giving more to church, giving more to charity, just trying harder to be fruitful. We cannot grow in fruitfulness by ourselves. The vine picture that we have here in John 15, it makes it very clear that fruitfulness only comes through being connected to Jesus. But that begs the question, doesn't it? How do we stay connected to Jesus? The passage shows us. And I think we need to see the order in which things happen. First of all, we receive from Jesus. First we receive from him, and then we respond to him. What we receive are his words and his love, and then we respond. Let's have a look. And it's clear that Jesus is the one who enables our fruitfulness from beginning to the end. So verse 16, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit." Jesus chose us to bear fruit. And as those he has chosen, he gives us everything that we need for fruitfulness. So if we press on with that vine illustration a little bit more, what we receive from Jesus is kind of like sap, you know, life-giving sap that flows through the vine into the branches that causes fruitfulness. It brings us all the nutrients, all the goodness, everything that we need to bear fruit. So what is that sap? Well, I think there are two main ingredients that we have in this passage. Firstly, his words, beginning of verse 7. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you," Remaining in Jesus means his words remaining in us. The Bible, Jesus' words, show who Jesus is and so helps us to stay connected to Jesus. And of course, we need the Holy Spirit to help us know Jesus, receive Jesus as we read these words and come back as you continue to look through these words of Jesus. You'll see more about how the Holy Spirit does that. So we receive Jesus' words. And how do we respond? Well, we respond in prayer. Verse 7 again. "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." We have similar words in verse 16. "Whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Now that is an astounding thing to say, isn't it? It kind of sounds like a blank check prayer, where we fill in the gap, fill in what we want. We ask God, God gives it to us. And that's what it is. The caveat is, it's not a blank check for us. It's not like I go to God, I say, Lord, give me my dream home, my dream job, the spouse that I've always wanted. It's not a blank check for us. It's a blank check for God and his glory. I think the idea is that when we are connected to Jesus in this kind of a way, we're receiving his words in a way that his words become kind of so bound up, integral, if you like, to who we are and what we want. Someone said of John Bunyan, the Christian author, someone said of him, if you pricked him, if you took a needle and pricked him, he would bleed the Bible. And you can imagine that if we are soaked in scripture like that, we will want to see God's will done more and more in the world. Our prayers will be more and more aligned to the will of God himself. Now, you might think that this sounds like 100 sermon applications that you've heard before. Read your Bible, pray. But I think that's why we've got the first 8 verses, the verses that tell us about the vine. The vine image, it tells us that this isn't just a tick box exercise. Read the Bible, pray, outspit some results. It is about relationship, staying connected to Jesus. We had a men's breakfast at St. Luke's a few weeks ago, and what we did during this breakfast was we asked a few guys in the church to share something of how their walk with the Lord was going. It was really encouraging. And I was really struck by what one guy said. He said something like this. He said, my relationship with Jesus is much more than just my devotional quiet times each morning. Much more than that. He said, I want my life to be an ongoing conversation, a continual dialogue with Jesus. Now, I was really struck by that language of continual conversation, ongoing dialogue. I think my relationship with Jesus often feels like a kind of quick phone call here and there. I want to hear something from you, Jesus, quickly, because I want to talk to you and ask you for something that I quite like, and then phone down. I would love my relationship with Jesus to be more like that ongoing conversation, walking side by side with him, staying connected to him. I think that's what this passage is calling us to. We stay connected to Jesus by receiving his words and responding in prayer. Now, the second ingredient of that sap that we receive from Jesus, that life-giving, nutritious sap, is his love. We receive Jesus' love. Verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. I think in the short time we have together this morning, we cannot explore the depths of this verse. This verse is an amazing verse, isn't it? Jesus is saying that we as Christians are invited to experience, to enjoy, to receive something of the love that God the Father and God the Son enjoy in the Trinity. We're invited into that love within the Godhead, that eternal, the perfect, the self-giving love, the love that existed before the universe was created. I think that's mind-blowing. We are invited to be connected to that love. And we experience something of that love in our salvation as Jesus rescues us. We experience something of that love in our ongoing relationship with him as he cares for us, dealing gently with us, speaking to us, growing us. We receive Jesus' love. But how do we respond? Well, we respond by obeying Jesus, keeping his commands. At first reading, I don't know about you, that sounded a bit odd to me. I think of loving relationships in my life. If someone tells me, I love you, I might think, I love you back. If someone said to me, I love you, now obey me, I'd think, do you really love me? But this is following the pattern of Jesus' life. It's following the pattern of his love and obedience for his Father. Verse 10, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. And Jesus flags up one particular way that we show that obedience. We show that obedience in lots of ways. One way he flags up is loving other Christians, loving brothers and sisters in Christ, verses 12 and 17. The love that we receive from Jesus, we're then to pass on to others as we love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's part of our response to obedience. So if you're not feeling fruitful as a Christian at the moment, it's worth, I think, taking a step back and asking, are there areas in my life where I'm disobeying Jesus? And since Jesus in our passage talks specifically about love for one another, we can ask ourselves, are we responding to Jesus' love by loving each other, by loving other Christians, by showing that other-centered, self-sacrificial love that Jesus himself shows for us? So I think the key to bearing fruit as Christians from this passage is to stay connected to Jesus. How do we do this? It all begins with what we receive, that life-giving sap from Jesus, made up of his words, made up of his love. And we respond to his words in prayer, we respond to his love with obedience. And Jesus gives us this beautiful picture of the results of that kind of fruitfulness. Just briefly, first result is that God is glorified. We see that in verse 8. God is glorified by our fruitfulness. Second result, again in verse 8, we are shown to be Jesus' disciples. Our fruitfulness shows that we are followers of Jesus. And thirdly, another result, the final result, is great joy. Verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And these results that we see in this passage, they made me think of a lady in our church. She moved over to the UK from Iran last summer. She's a fairly new Christian. I think she became a Christian 18 months ago or so. But she knows what she has received from Jesus, and she wants to respond to him. Her relationship with Jesus is bearing fruit. We can see that in her service, in her witness to her non-Christian friends. But the results of her fruitfulness, I think, are just a lovely illustration of what this passage is saying. So as this lady serves and witnesses, God is being glorified. Those who know something of her story are just amazed at how God has worked in her life, turning her life around to be fruitful, to be rescued by him. God is being glorified. God is showing her to be a genuine follower of Jesus. And it's bringing her great joy. Her life is pretty hard in lots of ways, but she absolutely loves bearing fruit for the God who has rescued her. As she serves, as she witnesses, her joy is there for all to see. And I just wanted to share that as an encouragement that these words are true. These words work in real life. Sometimes I can forget that Jesus' words really are true. They really do work in real life. So as we close, I thought let's just return to where we started. How do we grow in fruitfulness? I think we could try lots of things, couldn't we? We could try reading certain books, maybe signing up for a training course, maybe doing a theology degree. None of these things are bad things, but they will not work on their own. The essential key to fruitfulness is staying connected to Jesus. We're going to need God's help with that. So as we close, let me lead us in a prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us all that we need to be fruitful. Thank you for the wonder of being connected to the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wonder of experiencing, of receiving the love that you have for him. And we ask for your help. Please help us to stay connected to Jesus, to nurture that relationship that you have given us with him, so that we would bear fruit and bring you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.